So this project is a chapter out of my dissertation work from University of Washington, and it's coming out of work I did in Kuwait related to the Gulf War over a, well, now it's been a 7 or 8 year period. So let's get started here. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I want to talk a little bit about my initial interest in the project, because I often get the question, why? Why would you go to Kuwait, and why are you interested in the Gulf War? So I was living in France at the time doing my master's degree. I was working as a volunteer with French veterans who had health issues. And those health concerns are very similar to the type of concerns we see in our own veterans. So I'm talking about cancer, neurological issues, skin issues, and also trauma, psychotrauma. But the question they often would ask me is, why? Why is this happening to us? Where is this coming from? We think it's coming from the Gulf War. We were there for a certain amount of weeks. We were exposed to this. We were exposed to that. So it became clear to me that because their exposures were kind of episodic, it was hard to understand the origin. So I wanted to go to Kuwait and actually go there and understand if there were similar exposures to Kuwaitis, and also if there were exposures related to Gulf War veterans. This project was supported by 2 Fulbright grants from the U.S. Department of State, and also 3 Department of Education FLAS grants, Foreign Language Area Studies grants, for me to be able to learn Arabic. So I spent about a year in Egypt, Lebanon, and Palestine, as well as 3 years in Kuwait. Okay. So I wanted to throw out my 2 research hypotheses first, which are, one, incidence of various cancers will be higher in Kuwait in the post-latency period, and 2, breast cancer incidence will increase at a faster rate in post-latency period than other cancers. So this is an ecological study, and originally I intended to do a multi-level analysis, which for those statisticians out there is, it's a pretty complicated thing to do. So I kind of abandoned that. But in an ideal world, if I had a full staff and everything, I would have done a multi-level analysis to be able to look at the individual level and also the population level effects at the same time. The dissertation, as a just a little aside, was 3 chapters, 2 quantitative and 1 qual. And the 2 quantitative, one was indeed a population level study looking at cancer rates. And the other was a case control study looking at breast cancer and controls. There's actually very little scholarship done on the synergistic effects of mental health and physical health as it pertains to wartime exposures. And that's important because in the preliminary research that I was doing, my literature review, I found that breast cancer was found to be much higher in individuals who had high levels of stress and also trauma. So it's interesting to think about that as I go through the presentation. Also, lastly, children are most susceptible to exposures in post-conflict settings. So I want to talk about the study design, which is a post-test only control group design looking at annual cancer rates for 1991 to 2009 in Kuwait, with annual cancer rates between 1996 and 2008 for Jordan and Oman. So why pick Jordan and Oman? Well, Jordan and Oman, unfortunately I didn't put a map in here, but Jordan and Oman are kind of different directions from Kuwait. Kuwait is on the Persian Gulf, Oman's kind of northwest of Kuwait, Oman is southwest of Kuwait, and Jordan is kind of northwest of Kuwait. The reason I picked those 2 countries is they're both quite far away from the plumes of the oil well fires. So again, the oil well fires in Kuwait was the 3rd worst environmental disaster in the world. It took 20,000 firefighters to put out the 700 burning oil wells that Saddam Hussein set on fire when he was leaving in an act of revenge as the war ended in March 1991. Those fires were burning for about a total of 11 months, and in order to put them out required a 20,000 person firefighting team, the largest firefighting team ever, in fact. And they were little reservoirs essentially built next to, dug out next to each oil well and pumped in with water from the Persian Gulf. And so to put out the fires, they were sprayed constantly for days. Kuwait during noon in April, May 1991 looked like nighttime. In some people's words, it was visions of hell. As you can imagine, the fires were going hundreds of feet in the air from the wells. Good. So here's a little table one to show some health indicators which among the three different countries. So you can look at those. I don't want to read it through all of them, but just to point out that Kuwait and Jordan have similar literacy rates. Total expenditure on health as a percentage of GDP is higher in Jordan. It's about 10%, and Kuwait and Oman are closer, around 3.4, 3.9. Life expectancy is the highest in Jordan. It's around 77 in Kuwait. And I gave some breast cancer percentage of female incidence here is 40%, 36% in Jordan, and 23% in Oman. And there's some other factors that are listed for breast cancer. I'll let you look at overweight, carbohydrate diet, oral contraceptives, common confounders with breast cancer. Okay. So cancer sites and possible etiology. I want to talk a little bit about the different possibilities here. Now, as you can imagine with those oil fires, there were a lot of different chemicals being spewed into the air, some of which were coming from the oil itself. So we're talking about polycyclic hydrocarbons that were burning, as well as heavy metals from the actual infrastructure itself. So nickel, vanadium were burned, of course. And also I should mention that depleted uranium was used as a weapon in Iraq and Kuwait. So that is also in the environment in both those countries to date. There's never been a remediation in Kuwait of the environmental pollution. That's something to keep in mind as well. So I list here the different cancers: blood, breast, colorectal, thyroid, and prostate, and different mode of transport. So you're seeing air, food, water for blood, air, food for breast, food for colorectal, air for thyroid, and so on. Now the important column in this table is the latency period. Because what you're seeing talking about cancer is it's not going to happen tomorrow, right? It takes several years, sometimes decades, for the cancer to actually manifest itself in the human body. And as you can see from this table, blood cancers typically are the type of cancer that appear first. So it can be anywhere between 5 to 15 years after exposure. So we're thinking, so make sure you guys keep in your minds, 1991 is the end of the Gulf War, end of the oil fires, so that's kind of the clock starting there in terms of exposures. And as we know that 95% of Kuwaitis were actually exposed to the oil well fires. For those of you who might know Kuwaitis or have been in the Gulf, a lot of people did leave during the Gulf War, thanks to having a lot of resources there. But unfortunately, people came back once the war ended, which also coincided with the start of the oil well fires. So folks were actually being exposed even though the war was over. Okay. So again, the primary hypothesis is that while cancer rates are generally increasing in all three countries, the increase is greater in Kuwait during the appropriate post-latency period. So the post-latency periods I'll get into now, but essentially it's anywhere between 6 to 10 years after the Gulf War. So 1997, 1998, 1999, that's really when you start to expect to see cancers start to show up in the population. This hypothesis rests on two main assumptions. One is that there's an increase in cancer rates in the same time periods across countries, and two, that the rate difference between Oman and Kuwait and Jordan is constant if there is no effect of conflict on Kuwaiti cancer rates. Okay, since 1981, a modest rate increase would be expected in affluent countries like Kuwait and Oman. They have pretty good cancer screening programs. Again, that's a question I often get. What about the cancer screening? So the cancer registry was established in Kuwait in 1973. So this is a pretty old system, and it's been validated, and so it's something not to ignore here. Data on the incidence of cancer in Jordan and Oman during a 13-year so we're talking about 1996 to 2002, and post-latency period, 1998, to about 2008 were compared with that for the Kuwaiti population. I also looked at myocardial infarction to give a non-equivalent dependent variable, and you'll see that in the later tables, to show kind of that a positive association would be expected between cancers related to Gulf War exposures and not with the myocardial infarction rates. So I'm going to go through some data here. These are essentially age standardized rates for cancer in Kuwait. So these are coming from the cancer registry. And you can see from the first graph, I think what the important thing here is to look at the kind of what I call the jump around 1998. So there's a trend obviously going upwards, but in the 1990s, again, that's the latency period, then you see a jump around 1998. And the rates previously were around 30 cases per 100,000, they jump up to around 50. You can kind of see that there. This is with the different models, looking at Kuwait, Jordan, and Oman. So let's see. You can see that Oman's rates 1.12 has a 1.12 slope. Jordan's 0.8 and Kuwait is at 1.35. Leukemia. It's kind of, it looks like it's all over the place, but focus on the black lines there. So you're seeing a pretty steep increase in Kuwait in the blue. Jordan and Oman look like they're trending down slightly. Look, that could just be background error. Again, here's leukemia for women. This is in the post-latency period. You're seeing increase in Kuwait, slow increases in Jordan and Oman. So I used, these are my statistical hypotheses. I won't go through these in the interest of time, but I just want to point those out. Another piece of this study that was really important was attributable risk. So this is actually the change in the rate at a certain time. So in other words, if you look at the blue solid line at the bottom, that's kind of where you expect the rate to be without the Gulf War, right? So with the Gulf War, the hypothesis is that there'd be kind of a jump or a shift at T-post, called T-post in our stat models. And the green area is essentially what would be considered excess or attributable risk to the Gulf War. Okay. And on the y-axis, you're seeing the rates of cancer. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of time to go through these, but I just want to show you some of the results here. The trends for selected cancer sites among the countries. So it's interesting to look at breast cancer at 1.3. And then we talked about leukemias earlier in the figures. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, also interesting outcomes there. Table 6, these are the T-posts. So if you look at the darkened numbers, those are significant. Essentially, the change in slope, this is the number, the jump, essentially, in rates. So what's interesting here, again, is breast cancer in the middle of the table. So it's going up to about 2 cases per year. Previously was 1. This table here explains the total number of attributable cancers doing estimates with attributable risk. So over a 5-year period, we could attribute 2 more cases per year to the war in men, about 2 for women. And over a 30-year period, there's about 12, 10. And just to go down to the bottom here, the total would be 125. So this is a very conservative estimate, by the way. But this is what the stats show. So I'm out of time, but I'd love to talk a little bit more about the findings here. I think the main take home is there was a jump of cancer. Breast cancer rates around 5 to 7 cases per year in the post-latency period. And you don't. What's interesting is you don't see those rates come back down, right? So I could see some folks say, well, what? You know, how can you be sure of that? Well, you can't be 100% sure, but if it was something that was just an anomaly, then it would come back down to the pre-latency rates. Okay, so obviously there needs to be more investigation. This is unprecedented exposures. Major sources of carcinogens are still in the environment, and there's probably going to be intergenerational effects for a long time without proper cleanup. Okay, thank you.